pray for your living word. Speak to us in the meeting. Open your word to us. Show us what's on your heart. Give us the expression to speak your word. We want to have fellowship about the second point on the outline. The outer court corresponds to our body. The enclosure, separation from the world outside. As we've seen from this picture, Toby showed that we have a separation here. Outside is the desert, but the house of God is not only the house itself, it's been separated by a wall. In Exodus 27, this is described, or 38 of Exodus. This describes us what it looks like, the separating wall, this enclosure. It had an important meaning for us. In this meeting, we want to see what the Lord wants to show us here. What's the reality of this enclosure for us? It's not just for us to understand as knowledge, to be able to say how it is and how it was then. But what is the Lord's burden today? Lord, we want to be the reality of this house today. We heard today the tabernacle is not human made. It's the Lord, the house the Lord is building with us today. We have to come to the Lord and ask him to give us the reality of the whole tabernacle, because the Lord himself is this house and he wants to make us such a house. Looking at the tabernacle will help us to experience the Lord more. First aspect of this enclosure shows it is a separation. What has to be separated? Outside, it was the desert then. And the Lord shows us that it's very important for him that there's a separation from the world and God. From the being of this world and the being of God. The world is under God's judgment. And 2 Peter says that we have escaped the corruption that's in the world through greed. Flesh is fallen, full of sin and wickedness. There has to be a separation by God's judgment. We are coming out of the world, yes, and we cannot go in to God's house taking the world with us. We still have the flesh of sin. We cannot be in the Lord's house with this flesh untreated. There must be a separation between what is outside and what is in the house of the Lord. 1 John 5:19, it says, there's a sway of the wicked one. We are of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. That was our condition. That's the natural condition of the flesh. It's under the sway of the wicked one. But we cannot continue it like this in the house of the Lord. Outside is also hypocrisy and religion, the abomination of religion. The house of the Lord also has nothing to do with this either. That's why the enclosure is important. Outside is the futility, vanity. I'm thankful to the Lord. What's happening on this earth today is impressive. The Lord shows us how vain and futile this world is. It's this tiny virus that we can't even see makes the whole world shake. It shakes the whole world. It's precious that we can see this. And the Lord is showing us how unstable and shakable this world is. Our natural being often thinks we have a job, we have our money, apparently a lot of security, but this is a deception. It's all under judgment. And the Lord hasn't started to judge properly the earth. It's just a little shaking up, showing how vain and futile this world is. Thank you, Lord, that you freed us from this. People in this world have no option. They remain captured in this vanity. No way out. And in the end, they're under the judgment. I thank the Lord more and more these days for the situation in this world today. You showed me how vain this world is, how... I want to give myself more to the Lord. I don't want to have anything in this world, because we see clearly it's subject to God's judgment. Romans 2:2 says that it's God's righteous judgment over those who do these things. Vanity in the world, judgment over death, over sin. It will all pass away. And Romans tells us that God's righteous judgment will come over those who practice these things. Judgment over all people. As we've just seen, it's important. The judgment will come, but the question for us is, when does the judgment come? It will be too late when his judgment comes. Yet today, in the house of the Lord, we can be judged now, to be saved from the final judgment over the whole earth. Therefore, thank you, Lord, that judgment begins in the house of God. It's precious. We will talk a lot about God's judgment, especially in the outer court. It's full of the judgment, which is... we can see by the brass. The brass is a picture of judgment, the copper. It shows that our natural being, our flesh by nature, has to be judged. It's good that the judgment begins with us today. We need this view for the coming meetings, that the Lord wants to judge us today. It's good if we do not try to evade this judgment. Lord, I want to receive your judging. The world passes away, but the Lord has called us out. The tabernacle is the house of the living God, the church, ecclesia, the called out ones. It must be precious to us that we see the Lord has called us out. He's given us another way, different to the world and to religion. He calls us out because he wants to have a house and he wants to perfect us. He wants to build his kingdom, which is not of this world. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world," in John 18. So the Lord has to liberate us from the power of darkness and kingdom of this world. We cannot remain as we are. The Lord has to free us from everything evil in this world. The Lord has made our spirit alive, but he has a complete work in spirit, soul, and body. Lord, free us. Free us from the sway of darkness, the power of darkness. He's transferred us from the power of darkness, as it says in Colossians, and transferred us in the kingdom of the Son, his love, in the kingdom of light. We've been transferred into the kingdom of God. Liberated from the slavery under sin and darkness. Before we had to do what sin dictated us. But the Lord has set us free from this rule of sin in our flesh through lust. We have to appreciate this. We've received a kingdom that is unshakable. The judgments will shake the earth. Everything that does not correspond to the Lord. But today the Lord wants to build an unshakable kingdom with us. The tabernacle of the old days does not exist anymore, but what the Lord is building with us today will remain for eternity. So if he gets the reality of what he wants to show us in the tabernacle, that will abide for eternity. If we get the reality and substance of him today, we will no longer be shaken, but abide forever. Because we receive an unshakable kingdom, it says in Hebrews. We have received an unshakable kingdom. That's what the Lord's building with us today, if we cooperate with him and enter into the experience of him and allow him to judge us, then there will be an unshakable kingdom in us. We are servants. We should give our bodies for the Lord. The servants of the sanctuary, the true tabernacle which the Lord built and no man. We have to correspond to him in our entire being. Not only that my spirit's alive, it needs more to serve the Lord. My entire being has to be renewed. This is what we can see in the tabernacle. These three parts that express the being and the glory of the Lord. The Lord said we are a people of his possession. We are not here to do our own will. 1 Peter 2:9 says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession, to declare the virtues of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Lord has called us not to remain in our condition, but to sanctify ourselves, to be a holy priesthood and a people of a possession for him. The Lord has transferred us from darkness into light, into his kingdom. That's what we can see from this tabernacle. If you see the curtain from outside, they were white linen. There are posts, poles, pillars, 60 pillars.
40.
And attached to them, fine white linen. That's a special impression. The fine white linen represents the righteousness of the Lord, as we see in Revelation. That the fine linen in Revelation 19 are the righteousnesses of the saints. The bride was dressed in fine linen, the righteousness of the saints. We saw that the outer court is our body, and what our body should express are the righteousnesses of the saints, the righteousness of the Lord. Not only in our spirit, but in our body it should be seen. How we behave, our conduct, that's where the righteous deeds of the Lord must be expressed. How important our body is in our daily walk. It matters what I do in my body, what I think, where I go. Our entire walk and being must be clothed with the righteousness of the Lord. We have to gain his righteousness to express him. Linen is the outer expression of an inner reality. If the Lord is not our reality, how can we express him? It shows how often do we really express him. How much we need that he becomes our reality. In our entire walk, we must be sanctified. That's why he shows us this picture. He wants our walk to fully correspond to him. Formerly, as Toby mentioned, we often emphasize the spirit. That's one thing. I don't see the spirit of Thomas who's living with me. I see his body. And what I see in him and he in me the entire day is what we do with our bodies. He sees how I walk and what I do with my body. It shows that it's very important that we express the Lord in these things. I can tell him my spirit is living, but the way I behave is impossible. That's not an expression of the Lord. It doesn't fit together. That's why we see this whole picture, the Lord showing us here how important our walk is. Lord, do this. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says we've been bought for a high price. We will see during the conference what the Lord did for us. Therefore, glorify God in your body. That's the Lord's burden, that we would glorify Him in our bodies. For this, our walk is very important. We spoke a lot about the constitution of the heavenly kingdom. We've become salt of the earth, but if the salt is not salty anymore, how do you want to season things? We're a city on the mountain that cannot be hidden. And here in the tabernacle, we see from the outside that the expression of the purity of the Lord is expressed here. All who are outside can see the righteousness of the Lord, not the being of the world, but the righteousness of the Lord. That's how it should be among us, in our family, in the brothers' houses, at my work. Wherever we are, people have to see the righteousness of God in our walk. And that we have such an enclosure, separating wall. The Lord wants to show us we need the reality of this in separating wall, the separation. It needs a clear separation. We have the virus now, and the frontiers are closed again before they were all opened. We can't even go into Switzerland anymore. We were quite close to the border the other day, but we couldn't go over. There's an absolute separation. Nothing, no gray zone, a strict separation. This white linen shows a clear separation in God's kingdom. There should be no mixture. The Lord wants to work in us so that our life is fully separated. In Leviticus 10, it says, after the sin of Nadab and Abihu, there must be a differentiation between the holy and the unholy, the clean and the unclean. That's why we have this enclosure. Unfortunately, the people of God did not take care of this separation. We have to test ourselves and ask the Lord, do I take care of this separation? In 1 Samuel, it says we want to be like the heathens, we want to have a king to go in front of us and to judge us. It's 1 Samuel 8:20. There were this problem among God's people that they wanted to be like the nations. They didn't see that they should be separated and cleansed. In their innermost being, they did not want the separating enclosure. And through this problem, in the end, the judgment will also come on the house of God. Not only the heathens. Even in the end, he had to judge his own people. But today, we want to be different. We want to take care of this separation. That's why the Lord gives us this burden of sanctification, emphasizing that we are a holy, separated people. Our Lord was separated from this world, from sin, and we do not adapt to this age, not conform to it. The enclosure of the tabernacle shows us this very clearly. If we don't take care of it and may have this separation in our personal life, then the dirt will come in, the filth. You don't have to do much for filth to come in. You have to have an active attitude so that this doesn't come in. So this enclosure, the separation would be really there. Because if it isn't, the dirt will come in easy. And if the filth and dirt come in and we don't deal with it and treat it, then the Lord will go out. There's not much time left, but the Lord wants to perfect his work with us. Lord, we want to set up this enclosure in our life. If we look at this enclosure, it is held up by 60 pillars that carry this fine linen. There's not only one pillar in the church life. It shows us there are 60 pillars. They're all necessary to carry this fine linen, showing how responsible all of us are. It's not just a few brothers who cleanse and sanctify themselves. It depends on the behavior and conduct of each one of us. Each one here in Zion, how we live, how our daily walk is. The linen cannot stand by itself. It needs the 60 pillars. And the word describes more about them. They're made of acacia wood. Basic material of the tabernacle is acacia wood. It's the pure, fine humanity of the Lord Jesus, uncorrupted, freed from sin.
Amen.
The worms cannot spread in this wood. It's firm against corruption. If If you put wood somewhere, you know it's not such a solid material and worms can get in. But acacia wood is special. It cannot be touched by the corruption or overwhelmed by it. It shows the fine, complete humanity of the Lord. A humanity that can withstand corruption. This pillar now is made out of acacia wood. It shows us what kind of people we have to be to carry this fine linen. It needs dealing with my humanity. I can't say I go and put on fine linen. I would like to. But Revelation shows it was given to them. Something happened before, a process of cleansing, which we see from this wood. I can't just take anything. It needs the humanity of the Lord. This expression of the fine, to carry the fine linen. Each one of us should be such a pillar. But this needs a dealing that we can put on the fine linen. It needs the judgment of the Lord. The word of the Lord is wise. It's very. This pillar is standing on a foot of bronze. It doesn't touch the earth. Now, bronze or copper stands for the Lord's judgment. Our entire walk must be under God's judgment. Our whole being and life is based on the judgment of the Lord. When I get up in the morning and I just live my daily life without experiencing the judgment, there is no bronze. It will not be a day when I can put on the fine linen. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I experience is the Lord's judgment in my thoughts. When I go to have a shower in the morning, my thoughts go somewhere. And I call to the Lord and judge my natural thoughts and turn them to Christ and His kingdom. It shows how important it is that we always stand on the Lord's dealing and judgment, dealing with us. In our daily life, in our entire walk, we have to let this bronze judge our life. And then there's also silver. Silver is on top. Silver head. Silver stands for salvation, we know. So, on the one hand, we need a lot of judgment. But if we only experience judgment and we are only judged in the end, that's not what we need only. We also need the Lord's salvation. I need a lot of salvation in my thoughts. On the one hand, I have to judge them from the earthly and fleshly. From the lusts of the flesh. On the other hand, I need salvation in my thoughts to turn them to the heavenly things and the kingdom of God, that my thought will be renewed. So this pillar shows judgment and salvation. And in between, we see the true humanity of the Lord. Now, this pillow can be loaded with a fine linen. On the left and right, you see the hooks at the top part, and there are silver bands or rods. Now, these pillars are connected with silver rods. It shows us we're not on our own somewhere. But to express the glory of the Lord, it needs a connection in the house, but not a natural connection. We mustn't deal with one another in a natural connection. It's silver, it's salvation. In the brother's house, we don't have a natural connection, but we enjoy the salvation of the Lord and we share it. We give one another the Lord who can save us. We can express this before the world, but not in a natural way, not by our natural interests or feelings, but because we love the Lord and experience His salvation. That's so precious. If we lead such a life together as a family or a brother's house, house of the Lord, the church, then in the end, the fine linen will be put on top of these bands or rods. We need this reality that everything natural will be judged. If we are connected in a natural way, that will never express the Lord, will not express His righteousness. But if we are connected with these silver rods, that's really an expression of the Lord. Visible testimony of God on this earth. In old times, this was a visible expression. If someone wanted to know what God is like, he had to go to the tabernacle. And he would first have seen this fine linen, the white. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to build us up as this house, that we can express Him. It shows that God has a desire that we become such pillars. Psalm 144:12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style or in the temple style. God wants to erect this testimony. It's no longer a tent, but the reality of this tabernacle is what He wants to have. The outer expression, outward. Our daughters like pillars. And Moses has shown us what these pillars look like. The pillars that are carrying the Lord's testimony today. And Revelation 3:12. he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. God wants to build us into his temple today. Our natural being likes to float somewhere, but God wants to have this testimony on this earth, visible for people, or for all people. In the outline in 3a, we said an outward manifestation of the inner reality. What the Lord has put into our spirit becomes visible on the outside from this linen and the pillars. God wants to build us up together for this. How do we get there? This white linen, which expresses the righteousness of the Lord, to get this, we need the judgment of the Lord. If I do not judge in what is against God in me, against his laws, without this judgment, I will never be able to put on his righteousness. If we look at the tabernacle, we see that the pillars are covered outwardly with the linen. That shows the judgment is effective in them, and then the white linen can be put on. If something in me is against God's law, I have to say, I judge this, Lord. This is the experience of the bronze. Then the righteousness of the Lord comes forth, and there will be transformation and the glorious expression of the Lord. This picture is very good. It must be such a vision to us what God wants to do with us today. He wants to be this holy. He wants to have this holy, righteous expression on this earth. Amen.
Amen.
For confirmation of Revelation 1:15. Feet of bronze. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Amen. It spoke to me, if we want to be such a pillar, we have to judge this world in our life. It's good that these feet in the outer court are like fine shining brass. They touch the earth, the ground. When we're in touch with this world, we have to realize it's under God's judgment. And we can see it today, even now, that this world is under God's judgment. It's important that in my life this world is judged. If I have love for the world and my thoughts, my heart is inclined to something that God has judged, then I need these bronze sockets. Another thing, it's 60 pillars carrying the linen. six, the number six stands for us men. Man was created on the sixth day, and 10 is also the righteousness of the Lord. It's our responsibility to express the Lord. God has given us the responsibility. It's our part today. What God wants to have from us, which is important, that we as human beings express His righteousness in our walk, not only in our spirit, but penetrating our entire walk. That's what God wants to have today as His house, as Zion. We have to express God's righteousness in our body, in our walk. Another point to these pillars, what encouraged me were these bronze sockets. They show that the Lord has carried our judgment on the cross. In Isaiah 53, it says, the punishment was on him for our peace. And in Psalm 22, we see the Lord says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Lord has borne on the cross the judgment that was meant for us. His judgment is the base, the socket that we stand on. But this judgment that the Lord has borne for us, we have to apply it today. On us, on our body, the deeds of the body, and our fallen mind. We don't need only to think of the forgiveness of sin when we did something wrong, then we have the consciousness we need forgiven. But if we have bronze sockets, we realize that the Lord has borne our judgment, not only the forgiveness of sin. If we see the copper, then we don't only see that the Lord has forgiven our sin, but that He has borne our judgment. The Lord has accomplished the forgiveness of sin long ago. And just as we apply this forgiveness, He also wants us to apply the judgment. It's been accomplished, He has borne it for us. So when He comes back, we don't need to be judged anymore. Yet today we have to apply it. We have to apply what the Lord has borne for us. This awareness will save us. It's not only that sinful deeds are forgiven, but He bore my judgment, and I apply it and say on. Based on this bronze socket, I judge these deeds of my body. Lord, you bore this judgment for me, and I'm one with it. And I apply it to my fallen flesh, my fallen deeds, my fallen mind. It's not a judgment that we have to fabricate ourselves. The Lord has borne it. The punishment was on Him. But I have to apply it. I have to grasp it and say, I take it and judge my deeds on your basis. I thank the Lord. The picture is very clear. There are bronze sockets that we are standing on. Praise the Lord. Another point from the outline. That Zion rejoices in judgment because it brings about transformation. We don't have to be afraid of judgment. Revelation 2:10 says, do not be afraid of what you will suffer. The Lord's coming soon, and I want to be judged today. 1 Peter 4:13 says, in the measure that we participate in the sufferings of Christ, rejoice that you may also rejoice at the appearance of his, when he's being manifested. Lord, when you come, I want to be able to rejoice. And that's why I want to experience this judgment today. We must have such a separation. I want to judge my thoughts when the enemy comes. We all will have to give an account before the Lord. I've often prayed, Lord, I want to be transformed. I really want to be sanctified. I want to enter into your kingdom when you come. We should not be afraid, but ready, be willing to suffer and have such a prayer. This is our goal. When the Lord comes, I want to enter the kingdom. And that's why I want to get this judgment today. Zion rejoices in judgment. Also, Psalm 97, verse 8. It's a characteristic of Zion that she rejoices in judgment. It's good when today, when we're in Zion, we can rejoice in judgment because it brings about transformation.
Amen.
Lord, work in us. We pray that we would get this fine linen. We want to have more righteous deeds. Thank you for the pillars. We want to be those who have acacia wood, bronze, and also silver. Lord, please give us this in our experience. Lead us through the Spirit that we are able to grasp the reality of this all.
Amen.
Thank you for the pillars in your house. Thank you that you establish us and make us straight. We pray that we would learn to apply your judgment. Praise you for your precious word. For the reality, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It's 25 to one, but we are home already. A few small announcements for the rest of the day. We can have lunch together, still virtually. We've used Skype, for example. Called someone on Skype, put them and put it on the dining table. That's how you can have your lunch together. I want to encourage you to do this. That's why we've also encouraged you to have your name on the camera, a name on Zoom on the camera, so you can contact people, contact the saints to eat together, also via WhatsApp, for example. So all who have this possibility, please put on your camera and give in your name, that we can contact you between the meetings and have lunch together. And say, oh, there's someone I'd like to have fellowship with. A good possibility. Can you do it over the via the chat function? You can contact each other directly. If you need the data, you can contact us. We have them mostly. Philip or myself, Clemens, Christian are well connected. Use the possibilities of the technical possibilities and invite each other. We've practiced this in the past weeks. It works quite well. He wants to have more fellowship or wants to share something. We can also open the Zoom link this afternoon for those who would like to be there and share about the word, pray together. We'll have the same Zoom meeting that we've used now from 16:30 to 18 o'clock. It will be open, so if you want to come for fellowship, come to Zoom, not to the hall. 16:30 to 18, 4:30 to 6. Anyone who wants to join, come to this Zoom room. The next meeting tonight is at 7:30, like last night. And the saints from North America will be there again because of the time difference. Any questions by anyone? Then we'll end this official Zoom stream, but you can stay on if you want a little bit. And at latest at 7:30 tonight. Praise the Lord. Nice to see you.
J'adore le top, les deux.
There's a globe. Who's Beverly? Yourself. Niemand will gehen. Was that? Now all those who stay longer at the hall are now in staying on in Zoom.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 That's him.
Fine. God will is in Lagos. I'm in Aba.
You are okay. You're not in Lagos. Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord.